Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode, I am joined by a very special guest, Nathan. So Nathan, would you like to introduce yourself to everyone listening?
Of course, mate. Thanks for having me on. My name is Nathan Donnelly Kay. I am primarily a PE teacher, just in the normal teaching world, and also have my own business for online coaching. So I've actually, funnily enough, been doing online coaching longer than I've been teaching as well. So doing the kind of dual career has been something that's always been a part of my life, I would say.
Superb. So, yeah, I wanted to have you on today just because, obviously, you've got a lot of experience kind of working a 9-to-5 and as well as that, like, being a coach yourself, helping individuals maybe in that situation. So I thought it would be great to get you on to kind of discuss how you can kind of manage certain variables like training, nutrition, managing your general routine and the obstacles that are surrounded with it. And who do you currently work with at the moment? Who's your kind of target market, would you say?
Mostly, my coaching program, if you want to call it that, is called the 9-to-5 Project. So that's kind of been going for about a year or so. Before that, I was just kind of usual, mate, just kind of gem pop people. But even at that, that still fits that kind of niche. Like, it's not a very specific niche. Everybody works, let's be serious. But it's more the type of person that I'm trying to work with rather than, like, you see people as a coach kind of niche down and they'll go for, they'll maybe work with one profession. Like, I could have maybe just worked with teachers or I could have maybe just worked with people in finance or whatever it is. But for me, I was seeing, like, the same traits come back from people that work 9-to-5s, again, work full-time, just like myself, whether it's a 9-to-5, whether it's a 10-to-7, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but it's more that idea about working full-time. It's more the people who struggle with being able to manage their fitness commitments and wanting to improve their lifestyle, and they just feel like they're kind of bogged down with work all the time. And again, I've even coached some students at times because it gives them that opportunity to transition into their full-time work whilst being able to kind of prioritise their health or fitness. I would definitely say that as much as, again, like, body composition results are, like, the, again, I would say the bread and butter of the fitness industry, and that's the way you're essentially going to get people through the door. I would definitely say over the last year or so, I've kind of transitioned into, people are coming to me and they're not just like, I just want to get jacked, mate, I just want to look good. It's more so down the idea of, like, I want to feel better. I like the idea of, like, looking better, moving better, and feeling better. So it's like, how can we kind of incorporate all of that into this, obviously, this 9-to-5 project, whilst organising around work-life commitments? But as I said, the key things that were coming back from people were, I was able to see that people were really committed to their career, whether it was a career or a job, whatever stage they were at, they were really committed and they were able to kind of show the traits that you need to be successful with your kind of fitness journey, if you want to put it that way. And they were able to show it in work, whether it was they were working a trade and they'd grafted through a low paid apprenticeship that they're getting up to all sorts on sites and they've dug their heels in and then they've worked and then they've created a business and become self-employed, or they're in the process of working there but then they can't get their grips on their fitness and they can't get a grip on their nutrition, their training, their sleep, their hydration, all that kind of stuff, and then during that period of time they maybe gain weight or they don't hit the gym as much as they should, all that kind of stuff. Or whether it was somebody who, like myself, to become a teacher, went to university. Again, like, everybody will vouch for it, like, it's tough. Like, it's really tough to get there, regardless of the place that people go to study or whether they go to get qualified. They go through a period of time of essentially hard graft. And I was finding that so many people that I was working with were able to apply themselves there, but they just didn't have, essentially, like, the arm round the shoulder effect of being able to, like, come this way, this is what I need you to do, this is how to do it, this is the most efficient way, simplest way. And since that, the results that I now get with clients, yes, kind of for social media purposes, is very much just, here's a before, here's an after. Or whether it's they've ran a half marathon, or they've ran a marathon, that's a performance metric, whatever it is. But the actual core behind the scenes is the fact that they've got a clear purpose, they've got a clear drive now, and they understand how to apply the skills that they already had, but in their kind of fitness journey. So, yeah, I would say that's kind of the main people I work with now and kind of the main results that we're trying to get people.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying regarding a lot of it's transferable, so the skills, or relaying it back to myself, I think the skills that make me maybe a successful bodybuilder make you successful in regards to kind of other aspects of life, like the delayed gratification that it brings, being disciplined, doing things when you don't want to do it. Like, all those skills will transfer over not just to fitness, but areas outside the gym as well. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about helping people and like working in the fitness industry, because you'll know yourself, like I had a client who was in university, and he said that me helping him like played a big part in how he managed to kind of do in his university and getting his degree, which is like massive, because obviously it's not just about, you know, I mean, losing a few pounds or that, because those skills obviously apply elsewhere, which I think is really kind of fulfilling on our ends as coaches.
No, 100%, mate. And again, if I just use myself as an example as well, when I was at uni, I mean, I feel like everybody that goes to uni, their first and second year is just kind of a wind-up and they're out during the week all the time, and you just go through that lifestyle. I kind of started my fitness journey, I would probably say 2019, so that was kind of basically in my third year of uni. And the difference that made for me, like, again, it's by no means all down to grades and that, but my grades significantly improved in my third and fourth year, more so just because I had to screw them up, basically, than first and second year. But that also coincided with the fact that I had started, I got my own coach, I started to, again, I was in a position where I needed just to get a little bit leaner. I was playing football at the time, and typical story, I was like, my nutrition was terrible, I was training all the time, but then I started to notice I was gaining a bit of weight, and then how do I go about that? So that kind of kick-started things for me, and what that then installs in you, it's exactly what you said there. Like, again, my early days of training and like my own style of training, I do more in the quote-unquote functional world, whatever that actually means. Where I started in that kind of bodybuilding world, that's how we got introduced to each other, reverse banding the hack squat and stuff like that. Which, again, this skip so optimal. You know what, I'll always put every single piece of muscle I've built in my lower body down to that reverse band hack squat. But as I said, the skills that you learn during that time of bodybuilding, as you said, the being absolutely dialed in with your nutrition to the absolute letter, being accountable, not going to sleep until you hit your step count, weighing yourself every single morning, tracking every single calorie to the gram, being optimising your sleep, all this stuff, it plays a role. And how we say, like, you can't be daft. Like, if you do that, every area of your life's going to improve. And it's just as you said there, like the transferable skills are huge. So I always say, regardless, like learning that and whatever avenue you want to go down with that, it all matters. Like, now that I train in a kind of different environment and CrossFit gyms and stuff like that, I used to train at Flex like yourself, and proper, like, the environment's incredible, and how people are dedicated is so incredible. And then there's so many things that people probably in the bodybuilding world could be doing, like the things that happen in the kind of functional world. If they crossed over and done certain things, they would be an even better bodybuilder, and vice versa as well. So that's been an enjoyable thing for me as well, going down the both routes of training, has been able to kind of take essentially the best parts of them both. And that's the thing for me as well with clients as well. Like, some clients I have are really dialed into the muscle building era and their gaining phase, and then their cut and stuff like that. And then some people are like, oh, I want to run a half marathon, and I want to be healthy, and I want to be able to run after my kids and stuff like that. And again, maybe doing push-pull legs isn't the way to get there, but the principles that you would have of the bodybuilding lifestyle, if you then apply them to that kind of more functional world, it helps so much. So having a large range of things up your sleeve, essentially, that you can go and apply at certain times, definitely helps as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned people from like the functional world, like some certain traits that could maybe transfer over to people who maybe bodybuild or have more resistance training focus. What traits do you think would transfer and would actually be valuable for those individuals?
As in from bodybuilding to that, or just like vice versa?
Vice versa.
Vice versa. I think it's all to do with, at the end of the day, like the lifestyle is so important. So the lifestyle metrics, if you look at kind of like, this is actually what I've taught about uni. I've done my dissertation on this, so it sounds fancier than it is, but it's about energy balance related behaviours. So energy balance being, as we know, calories in, calories out. If you eat less than you burn, you're in a deficit. If you eat more than you burn, you're in a surplus, that kind of idea. And again, for a lot of people, they need to understand how to even get in that position, but your energy balance related behaviours being your nutritional adherence, your sedentary behaviour, so essentially how much you move, and your physical activity, so how much you train. Now, a fancy way of putting that, I always say it is your nutrition, your movement, and your training. And that's what I kind of simplify to people. I think within all of those areas, it's just about being like as efficient as possible. So if you look at kind of like your, let's just take stereotypical people in these areas, right? It might not be everybody. Your stereotypical bodybuilder will track every single calorie to the gram on MyFitnessPal. They will sleep 7 to 9 hours a night without fail. They'll take every supplement under the sun to help them with their health, their sleep, everything like that. They will hydrate efficiently. Essentially, every single thing you can do to optimise your lifestyle, they will do that. And then if you take the, again, as I said, a lot of those traits will factor into people who do kind of functional form of training and whatever. But if you then just take that down a notch and you just take probably what you would just call like your average Joe, just your average person, right? And I certainly, for me, I think one thing I try to do is try to be very relatable to the people I coach in that. And I'm like, I definitely fit into that category, like of just your average Joe. But maybe just a few steps ahead of where that client is actually wanting to be. So I would say all of that, but essentially it's just like, it's about knowing when to like push and pull, I think. It's about knowing when to kind of like chill out a little bit with it. Still follow your key metrics in terms of nutritional adherence, movement and training, and being consistent with that over time, but knowing that you don't have to be perfect all the time to get results. And I think that's such an important trait to understand and a perspective to have, is that it doesn't need to be 100%. I always say to people, see if you're like 70-80% accurate across the board, you'll still achieve fantastic results. And at the end of the day, for some people, again, stereotypical bodybuilder, that's like purpose. It's the purpose every single day. Again, you'll be in that boat because I know how successful you've been, and even at that, like how well you've done in your run of shows there sums up the, it wasn't the prep, it was the years and years before that. And it's that waking up every single day with a purpose to do this, to do that. I think it's about understanding to pull certain aspects of that. That's like something I always say to people with, like, again, just a typical job and typical work. Like, you wake up with a purpose every single day without even knowing it. But sometimes it isn't your own purpose. Like, why are you accountable to getting up and going to work? You wouldn't just phone in sick every day. Well, you're accountable to your boss. You're accountable because your boss is going to give you a hard time if you don't turn up. You're also accountable to getting paid because you need to put roof over the head. You need to put food on the table. So your purpose, your accountability is essentially for other people because, again, you don't get paid, you don't provide for family, friends, whatever it is, right? And then it's all about kind of using that perspective and then flipping that on its head and being like, right, let's try and be accountable to yourself. And what does accountability for yourself look like? Well, that looks like doing all those things we just spoke about, tracking your food to an extent, sleeping well. Again, I'll probably say sleep, do it the absolute best you possibly can. Train 2-3 times a week minimum. Get your heart rate up a couple of times in the week. Just all those little things, making sure you're hydrated enough. Scoop of electrolytes and a litre of water when you wake up goes a very long way. And just little things like that along the way will certainly help. But I think it's more a perspective than defining traits, if that makes sense. But all those things help. And as I said, if every single person done that, I can guarantee you they would feel better. They would feel better, they would start to look better, and they would move better, more efficiently. But there's a time and place for it. And it doesn't have to be, again, it goes to the idea of like the all or nothing approach. Very difficult to say that to people, because people, when people do something, they want to go all in. But it does come down to that, like, you need to know when to take the foot off the pedal at times. And there is a time and a place for being so by the book and by the letter, and then there's times for easing up a bit. And that time when you ease up, as long as it's strategic, it allows you to kind of physiologically recover, psychologically recover, and then enter that kind of next phase. I've got a client right now who was having this conversation with the other day, because he's so committed and so dialed in, he's in the running world. So started by, again, it was like, just want to do a half marathon, done a half marathon, then done a marathon, booked another one. Between the marathon preps, we were like, right, let's shift a bit of body fat, so we went for a fat loss phase. And I was having a conversation with him, like, there does come a time where you need to ease back a bit. Like, if you're always training for something, you're always pushing towards something that's just essentially around the corner, you're going to just burn yourself out eventually. And then you've got to realise, like, what are you doing it for? Are you only doing it for external things? Or, again, the whole intrinsic, extrinsic motivation kind of thing. But, yeah, as I said, it's just about everybody's different as well. Diving into what gives people that perspective and diving into what makes people want to work, I think that's an important part. I always say, I always try to get into like the psychology of the people I work with, and again, people are different. Some people are just, bro, I want to get jacked, and some people are a bit deeper than that, and they want to, again, they're looking at health reasons in later years, they're looking at family life, they're looking at wanting to better themselves from a self-development standpoint. So just about understanding what makes every single person tick, and it's like the whole Sir Alex approach with managerial roles. It's just like understanding what makes that individual want to work, essentially, because it's not going to be the same for everybody as well.
Yeah, I think that's big, getting that out of your clients, because if you've got like a why strong enough, like you'll manage to adhere to something, especially if, like, again, you've got a why that's not superficial on the surface level, like, I just want to, like, have big arms, you know what I mean? Like, thinking, right, why do you want big arms? Like, and I mentioned this, like, a few podcasts ago as well, when I was on with another guest, like, part of my why is, like, providing for individuals around me, and then that gets me up, like, regardless of how bad I feel during prep, or how tired I am, or if I can't be bothered training that day when I've not got that long-term goal in sight. Like, if you've got that strong why, then I think your adherence will definitely be in a much better spot, for sure.
100%, mate. And it's that idea of what I spoke about before, like, people have these traits inside of them. Like, I always say, like, you're just so much stronger for other people than sometimes you are for yourself, and you don't even realise it. So many people will, again, do all that stuff. Again, like, why do people go and work on themselves to get a decent job, to get a decent income? It's not for themselves to go and splash it on nice cars and superficial things. It's to be able to invest money for the future. It's to be able to save money. It's to be able to, again, put a roof over the head, provide money, not money on the table, food on the table, things like that. And when you work for somebody else, it's incredible how well you do it. Again, like, you go and use the example of running in that again. You go and take yourself this year down to the Edinburgh Marathon, right, which will be May time. And everybody's running for causes. Everyone's running for charities. Everyone's running for, like, lost relatives and people that have been close to them and people going through hard times. And then suddenly they go from having never ran to running a marathon. You're like, well, that's because, see, every single time you put the trainers on and you went out during your running prep, you're thinking about that person. You were thinking about that situation. And that is, like, the strongest version of yourself, is when you're doing something for somebody else. You hear all these crazy stories. It's like people are able to, like, lift cars off people because it's their children and stuff like that. And it's the drive and the psychological effect that can have. Then it's about understanding, how do you then flip that for yourself? And you can, as I said, perspective is so important. You can flip that idea. As you said there, that's what gets you up in the morning. And I'm the exact same, but then it's like flipping it of, like, well, if I do this, I'm still better than myself and I'm improving myself. It's like the whole, it's a difficult one, the selfish to be selfless kind of thing. And when you live that kind of lifestyle, sometimes you can feel, again, if you're, like, again, eras of life, like, it's totally different, but if you're sitting in a position where you've got kids, you've got a family, you've got a job you need to show up to, you're then, like, hours in the day are, like, less and less and less, and then you're, like, going to the gym for an hour, it's a tough ask. Like, when I'm working 9-10 hours a day and I need to be home because I want to spend time with family and I want to do this and I want to do that, I need to spend time with the missus as well, and then you almost feel selfish for going out for a walk for 60 minutes because you need to hit your steps, or going to the gym for 60 minutes. But then, as I said, it's all the perspective of flipping it and being like, well, if I do this, I'm actually a better version of myself for these people. And at the end of the day, I would vouch for the fact you cannot be the happiest, healthiest version of yourself without having those kind of key indicators, as you spoke about before, nutritional adherence, your sedentary behaviour, so your movement and your training as well. If you're ticking all these boxes, and then once you do that, you're then like, right, well, I want to sleep a bit better because I actually care about what I do in the gym. I don't want to be a bush couch when I go. Then you're like, well, I should probably be fueling myself properly here. Or I want to lose a bit of weight, so I'm going to end in a deficit kind of thing. So, as I said, it's like reframing it. Again, that comes down to, like, your purpose. I think that's something that so many people just sleepwalk through. Like they kind of, their life is designed around them, and they have had some say in designing their life. But then they get to a certain point and they're looking around and they're like, is this serving me? Is this just kind of where I've ended up, or have I chosen to be here? That's like, again, when the times get tough. Again, like, you'll probably be in a similar boat, up dead early. Again, you haven't factored in sleep and stuff like that, but you're doing stuff right up until you go to sleep. Your day's packed. And you can't complain about that because you've chosen that. And that's getting you further in a position that you want to be. And the exact same. And again, is it serving me? Yes. Is it making me better for other people? Yes. So then you're like, you're in the correct position, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a good kind of mindset shift to make when it comes to having all these commitments, you said, like, maybe working up until you go to bed, like, instead of thinking you need to do this, like, you get to do it. And I think that's something good to frame when it comes to, like, chasing after fitness goals or whatever you're doing in life. Like, because see, if you go about your day saying, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to go to work, like, you get to go to a job that not a lot of people have, you get to go to a luxury, well-equipped gym, you get to fuel yourself with quality foods. And I think that mindset shift's so important, because see, if you look at every single task you've got with, like, a negative mindset surrounding it, then you, like, your psychological stress on a daily basis is going to be higher. Your enjoyment for the process is going to be higher. And also, you're going to be a moody bastard, to be fair. And that's not going to be a lot of good for you or the people around you. Whereas having that mindset shift is massive. And circling back to what you said regarding kind of having times where you take a step back, I think that is something super important. And, like, even for myself, like, you're on about being, like, a bit more relaxed. And I think that's something, I wouldn't say I'm relaxed as I'm not on the ball. I think I'm definitely on the ball, and that's just kind of increased and maintained over the years. But also just realising what yields results, because it's easy to get stressed by the minutia and, like, worry about certain things, like if my meal's 20 minutes later or that. Whereas I think when you get through your fitness journey, you learn, right, what really matters, so that you can kind of take the foot off the gas to an extent, and you realise you're not throwing your progress out the window, because you realise, right, if you don't have 5 protein servings a day, you're not going to lose your tissue, sort of thing. If you don't have something on your meal plan and have potatoes instead of rice, you're not going to die, sort of thing. And I think that's something important, because it allows you flexibility and it allows it to be long-term sustainable. And I think you do need to go through a period sometimes of being maybe really strict and too on the ball than the opposite. Like, because I think you need to visit that period and learn, right, maybe you don't need to be this diligent to then loosen up. Because, and a lot of people won't need to hear that and that maybe information on the podcast potentially, because I think some people are the opposite direction, whereas they don't nail their variables enough. But there are some individuals who might stress about the minutiae that bit.
Yeah, no, I would say it's so true. It's kind of what I said at the start as well, like, visiting that place of being totally locked in and dialed in, and everything has to be perfect, and you're saying no to certain things, and you're only saying yes to the things that suit you and fill your cup up, that kind of stuff. Like, there has to be a period of time for that, because it's like the whole, like, training to failure, training reps in reserve. Well, you will never know what reps in reserve is if you don't train to failure, because then your view of that will never be accurate, because you think, that was a couple left, and you're like, well, that was actually 5 left. It's the exact same with everything. I always say, I use this saying quite a lot with clients now, I say, you just need to turn the heat up slightly. You know what I mean? Like, everything you're doing stays the same, and as you said, when you take your foot off the gas, that's not you. I'll just go 500 over my calories, that's cool, don't care. I'll just sleep 4 hours a night, doesn't matter. It's still keeping those, like, minimal effective dosage kind of thing. Like, what's the minimum and most efficient thing I can do to get the result, or maintain the result, or just go through a kind of cruise period. You're not regressing, you're still progressing, but you're not, as I said, as dialed in. Because it's all perspective, and it's all about realising, again, everyone's at different stages of their life, but everything in your life matters. You know what I mean? And balance, that's that word balance. Balance doesn't come in a 24-hour period. Balance comes, in my opinion, in a 365-day period, where some months in the year are going to be more dialed in, and it has to be this way, and this is what I want to achieve, and because of this goal, I need to do this. But then it's about understanding that you do not want to be like that all the time, that it then neglects other things, and then suddenly your relationship starts to fail, and suddenly you never see your family and you never see your friends. And because you never want to socialise, because you only want to get the top of where, you then don't do things, you never go on holiday, you never make experiences, you never make good memories, and then you look back and you're like, was it all worth it? But again, that's, every single person is different when it comes to that. But I always think you've got to realise, it's a whole, like, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit nothing. You need to realise where you're going. And if you realise where you're going, then yeah, maybe if your goal's to be an IFBB pro, then, or reach the CrossFit Games, or whatever it is, 100%, like, you do not have a choice. You need to be dialed in all the time. That's what it takes. However,
yeah,
just want to be your average Joe. Look good with your top off on your holidays, because we barely get any sun here, so it means you can just get a bit chunkier over the winter. It's no stress, in a productive way, gaining phase, obviously, or a performance phase, whatever you want to call it. And then you just want to move better. You want to be able to not be blown at your back end when you walk up the stairs. Little things like that. It doesn't take that lifestyle. And as I said, it's just knowing that perspective and knowing what suits you at that period of time. Because if you'd asked me 4 or 5 years ago, like, would you take a period of time off not tracking food? I would be like, no way. Like, absolutely no way, because I have a goal, I want to look a certain way, and this is the way I'm training. And then I was so engrossed in that, and then it's like, does this serve me anymore? Like, for me, I was in that bodybuilding world, it's like, does it serve me anymore going and putting on, like, 15 kilos in a gaining phase, off-season, whatever you want to call it, to then strip it all back off? And during that stripping it back off period, because I'm very much like an all-or-nothing person, as I said that before, that can be a negative, but it can also be a real positive, as you said, like, being dialed in. I was like, does this serve me? I'm giving up like 4 or 5 months of my year every year to be so accurate, because if I don't be so accurate, I know I'm just kind of cheating myself, and I can't do it like kind of half-arsed. It has to be full on. And I'm like, does that serve me? Does it not? Does it take away from other areas? Yes. So then it's like, right, let's try and rein that in. Let's try and find something that suits me a bit better, while still progressing, while still improving in every area. And that's, as I said, it's filling up all the buckets in your life, not just the ones that involve yourself. And then, two ways to look at it, as we said, like, working on yourself does make you better for other people and scenarios, but then you've got to be honest with yourself and go, is that just something you're telling yourself, or is that actually happening? Because you can be all in on your own self-development and your progress and blocking out the noise, as people say, but then the people around you don't like spending time with you. You're just a hermit because you don't do anything. You have no social life. You have then no pals. You lose relationships with people. Again, people at your work are like, they never want to do anything. They don't talk to us. They're just too engrossed in their own being. And then it's just having that, as I said, that balance, that approach to be like, I'm focused in on this, but I'm also doing my own stuff. And essentially, happy balance of not letting it consume you, I think, is important. But as I said, that all comes from perspective of periods of time where I could look back and probably be like, I probably was like that a wee bit. Maybe not to that extreme, but I was like, essentially my way or no way. But that works for a period of time. But then, again, there's compromise in there. I'm probably being a wee bit too harsh myself, but there probably is periods of time where you have to compromise. I think it's the beauty of life. You need to, as I said, sustain every bucket, but then also along that way you then realise, right, what actually does truly matter to me, and then you can drop some things off as well.
Yeah, it's about kind of knowing what your values are at the end of the day, and that's quite true. I think, like, working on yourself can be like a positive to individuals around you, but it can also be a negative. Like, and personally, like, it's something I can relate to, because obviously, like, prep is positive from self-improvement point of view. But it's also tough. Like, it's tough on not just you, the people around you. And yes, like, it can maybe have some potential positives in regards to business, etc. But at what point is that actually a positive? Because is it worth making that extra bit of money or having that wee bit more success if you can't actually spend it with the people around you? Like, sometimes I think, like, it would probably be, like, obviously, me and my girlfriend plan on moving out, so, like, my business is obviously very important, how successful it is for that purpose, to be transparent. But, like, at the same time, would it be worth just earning a bit less and then having more time to actually spend with her? Would she value that more, to be in all honesty? So, yeah, and I liked what you said in regards to like the importance of balance, and because again, what we think about in regards to what gets results isn't just how consistent you are over a month, it's how consistent you are over a year, over years on end, because especially when like building muscle, for example, like it's a long process, so there's no good being on the ball for a month if it's just going to lead to you burning out or falling off the bandwagon. Like, it's about what can you sustain, what can you adhere to over months, years, because as you know yourself, you've been in that realm, you still, well, obviously, well, I assume you weight train to some extent. I will see you do it. So it's not just about what you're doing over a month, because the amount of muscle you gain is very, very, very slow. So it's about, you know what I mean, like a slow burn. You want to consistently be progressing over time, because if you're like, I'd rather a client maybe 90% consistent over a year than 100% consistent over a month and then falls off track. And you see that with your clients and the ones that gets results. Like, you'll get clients who maybe sign up and they'll absolutely hammer it, but then they'll drop off, or then they'll maybe say, oh, I've got this in life now, I've got that in life now, so it's not the right time, sort of thing. Which, yes, there can obviously be times that maybe are suboptimal and times you might not want to start a dieting phase, but with fitness as a whole, I think it's something you want to view over the long term. You don't want to be like, right, this is the right time, long term, wrong time. You just want to think, right, maybe this is a time where things aren't going to be optimal, but I'll still hit sessions even though I'm not in the perfect circumstances, sort of thing. And I think that's what gets people results, regardless of what your goals are.
No, 100%. There's the biggest, probably, again, comes back to that word perspective. Nothing worthwhile having comes easy or comes overnight, like everything. And I think so many people forget that an overnight success was 10 years of work before. You know what I mean? And they just see, especially with social media, they just see the snapshot and they don't see what comes before that. Two ways of that. Social media is great for that, but it's also great now because people show the backstory and they show the journey, and then people get invested in that as well. But again, it's a massive perspective of life. Again, we take it back to the type of people I work with and try to, those crossover traits. Whatever role you're in right now, you didn't get there overnight. You know what I mean? However much money you have in the bank, you didn't get that overnight either. As you said there, wanting to move out, I recently just got my first house as well, and I tell you what, that was...
Congratulations, by the way.
Very much. In today's climate, definitely. A lot of investing time and money. But again, it's that way, like, I tell you what, it doesn't come overnight. You know what I mean? And like everything, every single thing takes time, and every single thing takes investment. And there's two things you can invest in your life, and it's time and it's money, and it's understanding what's more important to you for certain things. As you said there, you invest the time in business or relationship. You invest time everywhere. And then at the end of the day, it's about that better result. But then, let's be serious, we're all slave to the pennies to some extent. So it's like grafting a wee bit more with work. Does that then allow you to still do things in life and, as you said, move out and get yourself in the profit market and go for dinner and go on holidays and spend, again, just little things like that. Whatever floats your boat in terms of spending money. Does working a bit more allow you to do that? Yes. Does working on yourself allow you to do that? Yes. And I always say, like, you attract what you are. So, like, if you are somebody who is hardworking and you're not afraid to put a shift in and you organise your day nicely and everything goes well and you invest in yourself and you self-develop and you look for the right sources and you change things and you're adaptive and you have that positive outlook, you will attract good things. If you're the opposite, you won't attract good things, and then you end up in a rut and your trajectory isn't upwards, it's downwards, or just like that the full time. I definitely think the investment of time and money, as you said, it's all different eras of life as well. Where I invested time and money 5 years ago, different to now, and then the next 5 years will be totally different as well. But it's all about having that clear understanding of where am I going right now and what I need to do to get there while still keeping everything in happy balance, basically.
Definitely, I think that's very true, and relating that back to fitness, like, as you'll know yourself, the body composition you might perform your best at or make the most progress at might not be the body composition you look best at. And obviously you could maybe apply that to functional training, sort of thing. Like,
100%.
I'm not 100% experienced in it, but you might not always perform your peak best, but that those periods may allow you to perform your peak best in the future, if that makes sense. And that's something I try and display, like, on social media, on Instagram. Like, I'll continue to log how I'm looking during off season, as prep's over, as the weeks go on, because I like to try and show people that, right, this is what got me in this condition, this is what got me in this shape, sort of thing. Because again, like you said, you don't get a lot of gratification for when you look worse, when you're not running the actual marathon itself, but the groundwork you put in to get there is what will yield you that result. So it's ultimately about having that delayed gratification and having that awareness, and that it sometimes takes looking better, looking worse, performing worse in some circumstances, to then make your progress and reach your goals in the long term. But again, a lot of people don't see that. A lot of people just see the final product, and I want to look like that, which I think can lead people to wanting to maybe, like, start up with yourself, improving their body composition. They want a diet, but, like, they've got no muscle to maybe diet off. But they don't see that or realise that, and they don't realise that, right, you maybe need to maybe look worse to then look how you want in the long term.
Totally. And as you said, everything takes time. And if you compare it to, like, the performance world, like, I mean, you can spend a full year on a lift and add, like, 5 kilos to it, especially if you're trying to snatch hardest lift in the game. You can spend years upon years of running, and you might only be adding, like, a few minutes to your PB. Like, but it's the journey is the best part. I mean, I always say to folk, like, what else would you be doing? I mean, like, you fill the time up somehow. Now you go, what else would you be doing? Would you just be doing nothing? Because as we know, if you just do nothing and then do all of it and then do nothing and do all of it, you end up on just like this, and your actual trajectory isn't like that. Again, as we know, it's exactly like you said there. You're off season, you're gaining phase. You don't look your best, but you are waiting to look your best later. And similar to the performance world, you're not always peak fitness condition. Like if you take CrossFit, for example, if you're like an off season, you've not got any comps coming up, you're not battering yourself with fitness stuff, because fitness takes, as I would probably say, what the building muscle to losing fat ratio is like building strength to building fitness kind of thing. So if you need to spend your time strength training and getting stronger, and then you may not, as well as, again, it's not as much on like how it looks, but at the end of the day, like, I think looking good is what everybody wants. You may not look your best in your off season of performance. You may not be as fit as you possibly could be, but it might take you a year to get stronger, but then it takes you half of that to get fitter. And it's the exact same, the whole, it might take you 2 years to gain a decent amount of tissue, but it might only take you 6 months to strip it off kind of thing, or the fat that comes with that. So, as I said, delayed gratification is important in every aspect of life as well. Again, jobs, careers, you don't just become a manager overnight, you don't just get a promotion overnight. If you're investing money, you don't just get the return of that overnight, that's years upon years. You might not be looking at that again. You put money in a pension, you don't see that for years. Like, everything takes time. And as I said, that's, I think it's important to know where you're trying to go, because you're going to have to put a lot of groundwork in there to get there. And if you keep chipping and changing what direction you're going, as I said, that could change. Again, I've done that. I changed my style of training. I changed, like, how I view all these things. But the core foundations of where I'm going in life stayed the same, just because I run and lift weights and do Olympic lifting and swing a bit of bar like a dafty instead of doing push-pull legs. Doesn't mean I'm not going to the same place I want in life, but the modality and the style and the approach I'm getting to go there is slightly different. As I said, and as you said, their values are important. Understanding what matters to you, what direction you're going, that is the most important thing. And then almost like, it's almost like the idea of like backtracking. So like, this is where I want to go. What do I need to do to get there? Because I love the saying, actions will always equal outcomes. So whatever you do now, you will always see the return of that. And sometimes if you don't see the return you want, it's, well, you weren't doing the right thing. And then that's that reflection process. And that's why I think the coaching element is so valuable, because your coach will tell you the right way to go. It's the reason why I have a coach. It's the reason why you have a coach. It's because you want somebody more experienced to be like, by the way, if you do this, you're going to get that. Cool. Take my money. Off you go. And that's, again, the journey you want to be on.
Exactly. At the end of the day, you don't maybe... You pay for the experience of a coach. Like, when you maybe hire an electrician, plumber, or that, you're not paying for their tools, you're not paying for their time, you're paying for the years they spent learning that trade, learning that craft. And I think regarding, you kind of spoke about how like the progress takes time and that it's about, you know, I mean, the process day in, day out. And I think something massive is trying to find enjoyment in that process on a daily basis by like highlighting your little wins and kind of relating every even small task, just every small box you tick to that long-term goal, and trying to kind of find enjoyment in that daily process. Because I think it's easy to always think, oh, I can't wait to achieve this, I can't wait to achieve that, like in X amount of time, and you're not actually present, you're not actually enjoying your fitness journey throughout the day, which again, that's going to affect adherence, which is going to be the main driver for results. And that, I think that's something that helped me massively, relating this back to my contest prep. Like, instead of thinking, oh, can't wait to eat again, I can't wait to maybe, you know what I mean, like relax or have more energy sort of thing. I thought, oh, I get to experience the challenge today. I get to wake up and be the best shape I've ever been in sort of thing. So I think kind of finding enjoyment in whatever phase you're in, I think it's massive. Even if, like, you know what I mean, it sucks, you're training for a marathon, you could relate back to yourself sort of thing. Instead of thinking, oh, like, this is rubbish, you know what I mean? Like, I'm knackered, it's raining, I'm running in the rain sort of thing. You could think, right, this is building my mental fortitude, my mental strength. And I think, again, that's going to help your enjoyment for the process massively, because that prep I'd done there, like, it was one of the most fulfilling and enjoyable, or much more enjoyable than my first prep, just due to having that mindset and kind of shifting those negatives into positives, viewing them as like a challenge and kind of, which again helps your enjoyment and adherence massively.
100%. It was actually, when I was over living in Dubai, I managed to get a, not a one-to-one Q&A, but I was part of a Q&A with Chris Bumstead, the GOAT. And basically, he came out with a saying, and it was like, if you numb the pain, you numb the good. So I managed to get, I was like, you know what, this is one of those moments. I need to close the loop. If I leave here and I've not asked him a question, I'm going to consistently go over it. I wish I'd asked him a question. I wish I'd just had the guts to do it. But basically, he was talking about prep and life and all this kind of stuff. And he was like, if you numb the pain of whatever you're going through, if you numb the hard time and you just try and, as you said, fit it with, I can't wait to do this and I can't wait to do this, and you're always looking to the next thing, you then actually numb the feeling that you have when you get there. Like, if you just enjoy the quote-unquote grind, whatever you want to call it, when you're in the trenches, as they say, if you numb that by always looking at other things and always then, oh, I can't wait till I get to here and in a couple of weeks I'll have this and I've got a refeed day and this day, instead of just like stay in the process, if you just stay in the deep end, as they say as well, then it means that when you actually do achieve that, it's going to feel even better. But there is a lot to be said, as you said there, for just always looking towards that next thing. It's like anything. It has its pros and it has its cons. The idea of you reach the top of the mountain, you're at the bottom of another one. And that is a great way to keep you going. And if I look back at the last, 6 years now of kind of being right into this lifestyle, it's very much like, that's all I've done, but kind of without knowing it and not really putting too much pressure on it. It's just like, what do I want to do now? Well, I'll change this and I'll go and do this now. And that gives me something and that'll focus me in for another 6 months' time. Whether that is an external thing like a competition or a run or whatever it is. Or then it'll be like, again, where do I want to go with life, with business, with relationships, with work, that kind of stuff. Where do I want that to go over the next however many months? I think consistently having that internal drive is important, but as long as it doesn't diminish you from being in the here and now. Like, I love the saying, we're all currently living a life that we once dreamed for, like, however long ago it was. Like, again, me just being able to sit and have this conversation over a computer in my own office, I'm like, I've worked at a bedroom, basically, or a coffee shop for the last 5 years of doing of working on my business. And I dreamed of this, you know what I mean? This is what I want. So every single day I come in, I'm like, just take a minute, and I'm like, this is class. Again, I went through a period of time I lived in Dubai for just short of a year. Normally what people say when they go to Dubai is they absolutely love it, it's superb. Just my experience just didn't work out for the best. It just wasn't... There's parts of it and people I met that I'll look back and I'll go, I'm really glad I've done that. But all it's done is allowed me to have a perspective. There were certain things when I was there that I now have in my life that I thought the grass was greener, but it really wasn't. So then now I'm like fully immersed in just enjoying like every single little thing. And it's not even been a year since I moved back, but I'm still every day I'm just like, it's just class to have this, it's class to have that, the things I maybe didn't have. And yeah, as I say, I think perspective is so important. And sometimes going through periods of like deprivation, like depriving yourself of certain things, does make things on the other end so much more enjoyable. Not saying you have to deprive yourself all the time, and there is a way to be present and enjoy it whilst you're here. But I do think I think anybody who's involved in the whole self-development and wanting to be better and that have went and done things and achieved things to whatever level, that is definitely something that's difficult. Because even though you're like, I want to be present, I want to enjoy this, there's just that wee voice in the back of your head going, yeah, but what about this? And you're working towards this because you're going to get here. And then see when you get there, that's going to be class. And then you're like, well, after that, I'm going to do that. And it's difficult to sit still, which, as I said, it's like a blessing and a curse at the same time, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's all about like realising those, kind of taking pride in those little wins, because they will accumulate to those bigger wins. And like we said, regarding kind of your experience in Dubai, like kind of realising maybe you didn't enjoy that lifestyle. And I think there's always a positive you can take from any situation, like COVID, for example. It's like after COVID, everyone's a lot more, or I am anyway, and I hope everyone else is, like a lot more grateful for little things in life. And just like coming out of prep, it sounds extremely sad, like, and I like, you know what I mean, going out for food, that's like something that you don't really do during prep. So I even enjoy that, like I enjoy doing certain like basic things on a daily basis. And I think realizing that and kind of correlating them, I think is very important. Like again, if like a loved one has passed or that, like, yes, you can look at that and think, oh, that's obviously it's bad, but you can also change your mindset and make yourself more grateful for seeing other individuals in your life and then making you treasure that more. And in the terms of earlier on, we touched on like time away from tracking and how that you can have that time. What advice would you give people who are maybe nervous about stepping away from tracking or thinking that they're going to kind of derail their progress? Like, how would you manage their mindset behind that and help them handle it?
Yeah, I think, so I'm very transparent with this. I go through periods of time of like zero tracking whatsoever, or I will like be calculative. Whether it goes into my fitness pal or not, I'm still somewhat calculative with it. I think the whole like, just my opinion, intuitive eating is not a thing. Right, intuitive eating is what causes the obesity epidemic, in my opinion. It's what causes people to gain weight or undereat. One extreme to the other. It's extremely difficult to be intuitive and hit all the markers you need to hit to improve performance, to hit enough protein, to eat enough to fuel yourself, and what direction you're going. I would probably say almost impossible for your average Joe, right? And the only reason that I can go through periods of time of not tracking is because I spent years tracking. So everything is like somewhat calculated. Whether it's like eyeballing it and being like, I probably know that that's like 30 grams of protein that meal, and that's probably 500 calories or so. Maybe it's 450, maybe it's 550, who knows, but probably in around that 500. But again, it's all like periods of time. So like right now, I'm my fitness pal warrior. Why? I'm in a fat loss phase. I want to be as successful as possible. I think it would be daft not to do that. It's like trying to save money and never looking at your expenses or your business, your bank account, should I say. Like, it's just not going to work. Or it might, but it's going to take you far longer to get there and there's far more room for error. But I think coming away from that is important. So something I do with some clients as well is I give them the weekend. I know that sounds crazy because it's like, that's the time where everybody's like, everyone needs to be dialed in and it's 30% of your week. Total context. People who are trying to lose fat, without a doubt, I would probably say just track, it's for your best interest. Whether you have then like, maybe going through a deload week, or you're going through a reverse diet, or you're going through a refeed day, or you're turning that into a week, whatever it is, then yeah, come away from it. Don't log anything. But it's just about that push and pull period of time. Psychologically, it can take its toll. And as I said, I've done it with a couple of clients who are a bit more experienced. Again, I wouldn't just chuck that into somebody who was just starting, but as, again, context, when is it? During a gaining phase, it's during a maintenance phase, something like that. But they're still just eyeballing stuff over the weekend, those couple of days, but it just gives them that bit more freedom. I think at the end of the day, we go back to those three most important things that are going to dictate long-term body composition, etc. Nutritional adherence is right at the very top of it. So the whole, like, not tracking isn't an excuse to just go and eat whatever you want and just not eat nutrient-dense foods and things like that. But it is about that can psychologically have an impact that then makes you 10 times more accurate during the week, and you have that drive for it and you want to do it. But I think it is a definitely a scary thing to come away from if you've done it forever. I actually, it was when I moved to Dubai, I went basically my full time. I was there just shy of a year, like just didn't track whatsoever. More so just because scanning stuff in on the barcode, some stuff just didn't load, and then I was like, this is just a pain in the backside, basically. But then that just came down to like, what did I still meal prepped? So like, I was still roughly eating, like, give or take, same things at lunchtime or dinner time, whatever it was. And at the end of the day, and something that I think a lot of people need to get in their head is calories are still calories. Yes, it's not the same that every calorie is equal because of how it makes you feel and the energy and the protein and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're eating a meal that's 500 calories and you swap that out for something that's still 500 calories, it's still 500 calories. It doesn't really matter. Long term, you want to make that nutrient dense and you want positive choices and things like that, 100%. By no means promoting going and eating garbage. But just, as I would say, it's just being very realistic with it. A spade is still a spade. Whether you dress it up, whatever it is, it's still a spade. So it's the exact same calories. And I think coming away from that allows you to then see it from a new perspective, and then realising that that's not life, but that is a tool that you can use. So like right now, I'm in a fat loss phase. That is now a tool that I use. Everything, as I saw about earlier, like, I just turn the heat up with everything. I track my steps consistently, I track my food to the absolute letter, I meal prep every single week, everything is done to the letter. And then when I go through a bit of a maintenance phase or a performance phase, I'll roughly know what I'm eating. Or what I might do is I'll just like track one day, kind of gauge where things are at, know that that day of eating looks like that, and then if I need to swap some stuff out, again, calorie is a calorie, that gets swapped out for that, that gets swapped out for that, all good. It's by no means intuitive eating, because if it was intuitive eating, I'd want to go down right now and smash half the stuff that's in my fridge because I'm hungry. Well, no, that doesn't really work like that. You need to be somewhat calculated with what you do. And I think there's two sides to it. People are like, tracking calories is so unhealthy. I actually had this conversation with my client the other day. It was like, I just can't get my head around tracking with my fitness pal. I just feel like I've got such a bad relationship with food when I'm tracking everything. And I go, when was the last time you were accurate with nutrition? It's like, a long time ago. Well, I would probably argue that not tracking and just eating what you want and essentially eating rubbish, that's probably an unhealthier relationship with food. I think it's finding that happy balance. And again, totally context. Like, for some people, eating a peanut is just eating a peanut. For some people, eating a peanut is going to kill them because they're allergic to it. It's the exact same with tracking calories. You know what I mean? Like, some people, it just really doesn't fit well with them. And for some people, it does. It's no bother. So then it's all context dependent. Portion sizes for people who don't want to track food, great. But why would you? I'm like, why would you not want to maximize how much food you can have for the same caloric value as just eyeballing it on your plate? Because then essentially, portion sizing just means you eat less and less and less, whereas to be adherent with fat loss and maximize your calories, it's not that you want to eat more and more, but you want to have adequate food volume. Again, efficiency. And I think people just set themselves into a camp of it, and maybe they've just had a really bad experience with it, so they don't do it, and like, that's terrible. I think everything has its place. It's like the whole exercise selection as well. If you turn around, you see it on Instagram all the time and TikTok these days, this is terrible, don't do this, do this. Well, you're an idiot, because at the end of the day, everything has its place to some extent. It's then just like, does that suit your needs at that time? Does that work for you? Some things may be better than others, but again, totally contextual. Like, it totally depends on the individual, totally depends on where they're at. So nothing is better than another, but some things are better for certain people, and some things are better depending on the context of that person as well. So I think the coming away from tracking thing, it's just take your time with it, ease out of it, and realise that it can be like quite a scary thing if you've... Oh, my thing just went to the wrong page. It can be quite a scary thing if you have always done it, but just like ease yourself off. Take a day of the week where you don't track, then take 2 days of the week. That 2 days of the week, perfect, that's a weekend. Then your Monday to Friday, because you're locked into your normal routine and you've meal prepped and you've done all this stuff, not saying you have to do that, but it definitely helps. Then Monday to Friday is going to be by the book anyway. And then Saturday, Sunday gives you a bit more freedom. As you said there, you love going out for food. That's not something sad to say, by the way, because that is still, it's still a thing. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you go out for food, it's still a really enjoyable experience. And then you enjoy that, the foot's off the gas a bit at the weekend, while still making positive choices, still ticking the boxes of the things you need to do. So by no means, as I said, it's all about utilising it as a tool, not that you are relying on it to be accurate. And if I don't track my calories, I'm just off the wall with that. No, just keep it chill, keep it tight, basically.
Definitely. I like what you said regarding intuitive eating. I completely get where you're coming from regarding it not really being a thing to an extent. And because if people, it depends, like, see, if you eat intuitively and you eat foods you can either pick, kill, or grow, or basically no processed foods, then you'll probably roughly estimate your body weight. But I think that's the benefit of tracking, having everyone, or most individuals, granted they've not got an unhealthy relationship with food, I think it is valuable spending time tracking, because then you know, right, if I have X amount of this food, right, this is an absolute ton of calories. If I have this amount of this food, it's barely got any calories in it. And then when you move away from tracking, you've now got that knowledge and awareness to actually make quality choices with your nutrition. Whereas if you don't go through that period of tracking beforehand, then you don't have that ability. Like for myself, I'm quite bad at switching off and maybe stepping away from tracking sort of thing. And I don't really, unless I'm on holiday. So when I like go on holiday, like I quite like going all inclusive, because I can't weigh myself. Oh, I could bring the scales down, but that would be one step too far. But I can't really track. So as a result, it forces me to spend time away from it. And because I've developed the skills and knowledge and I've done it for so many years, I know roughly how much calories is in certain foods. And every time I go, I manage to come back like the exact same body weight and manage it well, just because I know, right, if I eat a plate of pizza versus a plate of lean meats, you know what I mean, some veggies in there, what's going to be roughly X amount of calories, and I can manage my body weight accordingly. So I think it is very important everyone spend time tracking, so they can then spend time not tracking, but still move forward towards their goals. So I definitely agree with you there. And as for the tracking side of thing as well, I agree with what you're saying, with people sometimes saying, or maybe it's unhealthy not tracking, not being accurate with your diet. And I think some people with tracking, they say, oh, I don't get on with it. They just don't like the accountability. Because see, if they don't know they're going over their calories because they're not putting it in, maybe, yeah, some people have an unhealthy relationship with food. Some people, it's not for them. They might have an eating disorder or that. And I definitely not saying everyone should track, or they should just crack on and ignore how they're feeling, because obviously that could be a dangerous situation to be in. But some people, I think, will say that tracking's unhealthy or it's just not a good fit for them, but they just don't like that accountability served with it, whereas it could actually be something that they need, if that makes sense. Because you see that with sometimes clients, like when they aren't consistent, they'll then stop putting information in maybe their sheet or whatever way you can track data for your clients. Because they don't like that accountability, whereas it's important to kind of give yourself that accountability, because what's the point in not having accountability? That's what will help you stick to the plan at the end of the day.
Therefore, and I think then it's just so many people are afraid of being like transparent. I think that's honestly, I think one of the main reasons why people like don't get coaches, and they know they would benefit from them, but then they don't, is because they feel like it's just going to be like a judgmental eye instead of being like, right, let's actually support you on this. It's more just like a, and then those periods of time, if they're dropping off and they're not as accurate, it's then just having that honest conversation. I normally find like, it's like in my role as a teacher as well, like no pupil's emotion is for nothing. Like there's something that's caused that. So like, if you then just like take that for face value, you're then just setting yourself up for failure. It's the exact same with clients. Like if you take that response, whether it's emotionally, whether it's the responses by having no response kind of thing, If you take that at face value, it's like, well, they don't want to be accurate, they don't care enough about this, they're not accountable, they're not a good client, that kind of stuff. It's like, well, there's probably something that's happened to lead to that, because the last 3-4 weeks have been absolutely bang on. And then you dive in a bit deeper, have a bit more of that empathetic approach. And then it's like, well, it's because of this, and it's because stuff was happening in the family, and it was because work was like this. And then it's, instead of being like, we spoke earlier of like, this is going on, so I can't do it, and work's so busy, I can't do it. It's then like, right, how do we then design life around that? How do we then deal with that to then get you back to this position? And I would definitely say that's something that I've done a lot with clients, because most people I work with, it comes down to like, I feel too busy to fit stuff in, quote unquote busy professionals. I would never say that, but you know what I mean, everybody's coaches busy professionals. But everybody's busy, everyone's got a lot on, everybody works hard, everybody grafts, everybody's got a million and one things, like spinning a million and one plates. Nobody feels like they've got enough time, but yet so many people still live this lifestyle, and that's the part that, again, you're trying to like problem solve, how to get certain people out of those areas that they're in. And that looks different for everybody. And that's why sometimes, again, it's not sometimes information. Like, again, people could sit down and listen and watch every single podcast you've ever released, and they would have every single piece of information they needed to be successful for the next decade at the tip of their fingers. Like, they'd have all the information, but then what they don't have is the accountability towards it, and what they don't have is the guidance of, well, I know I said this, and this is all over social media, but there's a version of this that works for you, and because of your current situation, you should do this instead of that, and that's going to work. And also, there's a lot to be said for just limiting, like, it's information overload, and because there's so much information, you do nothing. Like, that's certainly something that people struggle with, and I get that all the time when I talk to people who are like joining on board and new people and stuff like that. There's so much information online, and one thing's telling me to do this, and one thing's telling me to do this. It's just like, we're actually good again, just tell it today. Like, we're in a life is designed by like people telling us what to do to some extent, whether it's follow these rules, whether it's do this for your job, whether it's show up at this time, your boss is telling you that. You just do as you're told, and see, being a client is just essentially doing as you're told, but finding a kind of happy balance with that relationship to make it not feel like you're just getting doing as you're told. But people do very well when they're just told what to do. Again, me and you're in the exact same position. We're telling people what to do, but we're also getting told what to do from our own coaches. And again, that's what breeds success. See, if you just let somebody tell you what to do and just do it, so much things are solved in life. There's such a quicker route to success if you just do as you're told. It's certainly something that... value.
Just takes out the kind of the guesswork for yourself, for sure. So definitely agree with that. And is there anything you want to kind of cover before we wrap up?
No, man, anything. I don't know, anything you think could might be useful for your listeners.
It's been a really good chat. I'm happy to leave it here. We didn't touch on